The first reading is taken from Psalm 19 and can be found on page 530 in your green Bibles, and it's verses 1 to 6. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In heaven he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading comes from Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, and is on page 3 of the Church Bibles. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Can I add my welcome to Adrian's? It's great to see you. It's great to be with you here this morning. I don't know who's a regular and who's visiting, but whether you're here passing through, visiting friends and family over the summer, or you live nearby and you're just popping in, or whether you're here week by week, welcome, and it's great to see you. As Adrian said, my name is Leslie. For the last 9 months or so, I've been the vicar up in Wickham Market on the other side of Woodbridge. Prior to that, I was up in the Midlands, and I won't tell you much more. But if you'd like to know, then yeah, happy to chat afterwards, but that's who I am. And as we have God's word open in front of us, why don't I lead us in a prayer? Heavenly Father, we praise you for this glorious day, this day where you call us to gather before you, to gather with each other, to worship you, to sing your praises, to enjoy fellowship and friendship. Please, with your Bible open in front of us, would you speak to us and would you teach us the things that you would have us learn. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I may not be the best person to start off a series, seeing as I'm just popping in for the week, but we are starting a series here called Here Comes the Sun. Here Comes the Sun. England is a wonderfully beautiful place, particularly so in the summer, when the sun is shining down, when the days are long, when it's warm, when there's a bit of rain, but not too much. And it's great to be able to go out and to enjoy more of creation than we perhaps would be able to otherwise when it's cold and dark and wet. And as we think about the sun and what the sun teaches us and shows us and how the sun is used as imagery in the Bible, well, today we're thinking particularly about the sun and all of creation. All of creation that the sun gives light and life to. And I guess the question that I'd ask us is, well, what do you see? What do you see when you look around you? When you go out of your house in the morning, what is it that you see and what is it that you look at? What are the things that you enjoy? And perhaps that's what you see when you look out at the world. You see things which you enjoy and you celebrate, which you are glad for. Perhaps in the summer, you're glad for the sunshine. You're glad for the warmth. Perhaps you're glad for the growth that we see all around us. Maybe you have a garden or an allotment and you grow tomatoes or beans or whatever it is, and you're glad for the signs of life that you see. Maybe you look out and actually life isn't so happy. Maybe you look out at the world and you find much to be sorrowful about. Maybe you find much to complain about. Maybe it is the frustrations and the hardships of the world that we see all around us. Maybe the sorrow and the death. Every once in a while, we live in a culture now where society and media is very concerned for the conservation of the world. And every once in a while, you'll read reports, won't you? Well, I do anyway. Giving you the latest kind of statistics of so and so many hundreds of creatures and insects are being extinct, made extinct every day. And you think, oh no, that's what I see when I look out in the world. Death and fallenness, brokenness, maybe that's what you see. Maybe you look at people around us. And you see, actually, around this world, there are all sorts of incredible people who can do amazing things. I'm not musical at all, but I look at someone who plays the music or draws or paints a wonderful painting, and I think, wow, maybe that's what you see. The Bible says when we look out around the world, as we look at all the things, good and bad, the things which give us joy and the things that give us sadness, the Bible says that we are to see the glory of God proclaimed. That, the Bible says, is what we are to see. In Psalm 19, we read, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. So whatever else you see, whatever makes you glad, and perhaps even those things which pull you down and which frustrate and bring sorrow, the Bible says we should see, we must see, we are invited to see that the glory of God is being displayed in all the world. In all creation, we are taught of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we see the light shining forth, we learn of Jesus, the light of the world. When we see new birth and seeds going into the ground and plants growing, when we see children born, when we see animals, lambs, creatures everywhere, new life, we're shown to see. We see that God is a God who gives life to the world. When we see the water, we go out to the beach. I have nearly always, for my adult life, lived pretty landlocked, as far away from the sea as I could possibly be in this country. And so it's great here to be so close to the seaside and be able to just watch the waters of the sea. And we look at that and we see the water of baptism, of cleansing, of life again in the world around us. At night, you look up and you see the stars and the planets. And it's incredible. Every time I read Genesis 1, I think, there's that little line, and he made the stars. Really? That's all you've got to say when there's an infinite number of them out there, and they're so gloriously bright in the dark sky. He made the stars. No big deal to thou God who created all things. And all these things point us and show us and shine forth the glory of the living God whom we come before and worship. And those who have studied the world, scientists, so many of the great scientists who have come before us and who live and study today, so many of them have been and are Christians. So many of them study precisely because they know that they point us to the glorious God who made them. I came across this quote a while back. A little science estranges people from God. Just a little bit of science might draw you away from him as you think, oh, there's all these ways and things that we can explain and see. Surely there is no God. And that's what a lot of people think and say and do. The quote goes on and says, but much science leads them back to him. And that's what we believe. That's what the scriptures teach us. As we truly study and see and understand the world, we can do but have our eyes drawn back to the one who made it all, who put all things in place and who created and established a world which is full of praise for him. And that praise is such that were this world devoid of Christians, were this world empty of humans who would worship the Lord, even the rocks would cry out in praise to him. That's what Jesus says, isn't it? He's entering into Jerusalem in Luke chapter 19. You may remember the story. And there's these Pharisees who are watching on as all these people sing Jesus' praise, as they pronounce him as the King of Israel. And these Pharisees say, Jesus, tell these people to stop. What are they doing praising you? Why are you taking glory from God? And Jesus says, if these people stopped praising me, then the rocks would cry out. The stones would sing for praise of God, because that's what stones have been doing ever since they were created and established. Even in the brokenness and the fallenness of this world, where things do go wrong and where things aren't always the way they should be. And the Lord knows all about that. Yet the Bible says, all things speak to the glory of God. The heavens declare his praise and his glory. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. So what do we see when we look out across the world? In and amongst it all, I hope that you will see something of, and as you mature and grow as a Christian, I hope you will see more and more and more of the glory and the splendor of the Lord in creation. Some of you, it's not so common nowadays, but some of you may be used to the idea of a catechism, a series of questions and answers which kind of detail the basics of the Christian faith. In one of the catechisms, the first question is this: what is the chief end of man? What's the chief end of man? What is the final purpose? What is the great overarching purpose of a human being? And the answer goes, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That is your purpose. As part of this creation, your purpose, the purpose of all creation, is to sing the praise and the glory of our amazing God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let everything, another psalm says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord and sing his praise and give him glory. What do we see when we look out around the world? We see a world which is shouting out, which is proclaiming day after day the glory of God. And Psalm 19 goes on. It doesn't just talk about kind of creation in general, but it talks very specifically about the sun. End of verse 4, it says, in the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived from its warmth. Summer is often a season of weddings, and many of you may have perhaps gone to a number of weddings already or will go on to weddings later this year. People love to get married, and love to get married particularly in the summer. And we know from the Bible that whenever the weddings are talked about, whenever a bridegroom is mentioned, really it's all a little signpost, isn't it? You don't stop at the signpost. When you go into a theme park, you don't see the signpost and say, oh yes, I'm there. No, you go on to what it's pointing to. And so it is with weddings. As we go to the weddings here in this passage, as it talks about a bridegroom, our minds are drawn to that great wedding at the end of the Bible when Jesus himself will be married, when he is wed to his people, the church. The language of a wedding points us to Jesus. So this language of the great bridegroom, the sun, this Psalm 19 says, the sun in the sky is like a bridegroom coming out, running its course. The sun is like Jesus, that great bridegroom. And as essentially all physical life in this world is derived from the sun, so all life truly derives from Jesus, the sun, the true sun. What do I mean by this? And what am I saying when I say that physical life is derived from the sun, and yet all life truly is derived from Jesus? In our first reading, was it our first reading? Our second reading, which was from Genesis 1. You get this, some people would say, logical inconsistency. Day one, God made the light. And you might think, oh, right, he made the light. Great. We know the light comes from the sun. But then you read on a few more verses, and you get to day four. And that's when the Bible tells us God made the sun. And so somehow there existed in the world light before the sun was created. And I think that speaks to something of the fact that light does not truly find its source and its origin from the physical sun around which we orbit. We do not truly find light from the sun around which we orbit, but light truly comes before the creation of the things around us. The light of Jesus is the light which truly gives life to all the world. And so in Psalm 19, when it says, nothing is deprived from its warmth, we think not only of the physical sun, which gives us light and life and warmth, and which we enjoy sunbathing under and growing things in the light of, but we think of Jesus, the true source of light, the one who is, in his own words, the light of the world. And so that, I think, is the Bible giving us a little glimpse into how creation, how the sun declares and proclaims the glory of God. Every time we look at the sun, every time we enjoy anything which the sun gives life to, we should be thinking, ah, yes, Jesus. Jesus, the one who created all things, the one who in Colossians 1:15 says, we're told, sustains all life and for whom all things have been created. We look at the sun, we think of Jesus, the light of the world who gives life and warmth and life to all things. That's what we should see as we look out across the world. And so I hope that this summer, and also in the winter, or wherever you are and whenever you are, you'll look out around the world. You're looking out around the people you're surrounded by, the things that people are able to do and to create and to make, everything around us. And as you grow and mature as a Christian, you would see more and more the amazing splendor of this world which God has made, but that you wouldn't simply stop there. My hope and prayer is that as we study the scriptures, as we enjoy the world, we would see more and more and more the glory and the majesty and the splendor of the God who made it. This psalm ends, Psalm 19 ends with these words, may the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. As we look at the world as we live in it, as we enjoy all the good things in it, as we go through the hard trials that it brings, the Bible longs that we would say these words, that our meditation of our hearts as we consider that which is around us, our meditation would be pleasing to Him as we give Him glory, majesty, and praise. Let me pray for us now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this world which you've created. We thank you for the sun which gives light to the world. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, who is the true source of all light and life and being. We praise you and we worship you along with all creation. In Jesus' name, amen.